The banking mess makes the Fed's job easier. I'm David Brancaccio in New York with the government report on hiring due at the end of this week. We just got a preview. The payroll processor, ADP, says 145,000 more people were on payrolls last month, a decline from February and less than expected. This is a hint of the weakening that policymakers want to see in their fight against inflation. Lindsay Piegza, chief economist at the investment firm Stifel, says the banking mess might do some of the Federal Reserve's remaining work, since some banks will now be less likely to lend, slowing some economic growth.
Overall policy firming needs to get up near 6%. However, if the more recent banking crisis does some of the Fed's work for it in terms of creating tighter credit conditions, so if we see that translate into 25 or 50 basis points in terms of the impact on inflation, then the Fed may not need to raise rates to 6%, maybe only 5.25 or 5.5.
Versus 4.8% now. The pros use that term, basis points, but one takeaway there is the sense that the banking mess is like moving up interest rates by a quarter to half a percentage point. Johnson & Johnson is proposing a $9 billion settlement to make lawsuits over its talcum powder go away. If approved, this would be one of the biggest product liability settlements ever. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
Johnson & Johnson's offer would resolve tens of thousands of claims that the talc, which used to be in the drug giant's powder, caused cancer. The powder is now cornstarch-based. Studies have been mixed on the carcinogenic effects of talc-based powders, according to the American Cancer Society. Johnson & Johnson has denied the cancer claim, saying they lack scientific merit. It would admit no wrongdoing in the settlement. But its latest offer more than quadruples what Johnson & Johnson had previously set aside to pay out talc claims. The $9 billion would be dispersed over 25 years. The company says the settlement would spare it from expensive lawsuits that would take decades to resolve. I'm Nova Safa for Marketplace.
How might business planners or market professionals look at a historic event like a former president of the United States getting charged with criminal fraud in a case over payments to a porn star? The Eurasia Group advises companies on political risk. John Lieber, managing director of the U.S. practice at Eurasia, joins us now. Mr. Lieber, welcome.
Good morning.
Others will discuss whether this strengthens or will be a drag on former president's chances to become president again. But let's take a moment on the Washington policy agenda. Does all this fuel political polarization? And if so, what are the risks to the policy agenda?
Absolutely. I'd say that you're seeing already members of Congress, particularly Republicans, reacting extremely strongly to these legal proceedings. And the threat here is that this becomes the dominant storyline, not only in American politics over the next 12 to 18 months, but it becomes something that Republicans feel like they need to respond to.
There is a big fight right now over the debt ceiling as we get to a point maybe in the early summer when the U.S. government wouldn't be able to pay what it owes. Does this criminal charge play a role in that at all?
That was always going to be extremely difficult. You've got a group of members who say they don't want to vote for the debt ceiling, really, no matter what. They're looking for policy concessions that would give them kind of permission space to do so. And it doesn't, they were making no progress on that topic before the indictment. And I expect the progress is probably going to be even harder after the indictment.
Now, some investors, some market participants look at this, what seems like a political story, and think about policy continuity over time. Policy continuity would be if President Biden gets a second term. What's your sense here about whether or not this strengthens the Democrats' hand going into the next election or hinders it?
You believe the public opinion polling, then President Trump is a weaker Republican candidate against President Biden in the 2024 reelection than, say, somebody younger like Ron DeSantis. And also, if you believe the polling, the storyline over the last 2 months has been that President Trump looks a lot stronger against Ron DeSantis. And so if Trump is more likely to be the nominee, that means the knock-on effect is that Biden is more likely to win reelection, which means probably what you get is policy continuity over the next 6 years. That's important in foreign policy and in fiscal policy, which are the two big areas where the Democrats and the Republicans have sort of started to depart from each other in recent years.
John Lieber is managing director of the United States practice at the Eurasia Group, the political risk consultancy. Mr. Lieber, thank you.
Thank you.
Zimbabwe in southeastern Africa has a lot of valuable minerals, including gold, platinum, chrome, also lithium, which is essential for all the batteries we're now using. But Zimbabwe's mining industry has its own problems with power outages, which are hurting the ability to mine these elements. Persistent drought linked to climate change means dams generate less power. Ish Mafundikwa reports.
The mining industry is huge in Zimbabwe. It accounted for 3/4 of the country's export earnings in 2022. The government has an ambitious plan to export $12 billion in minerals this year. However, the mining sector says rolling blackouts, also called load shedding, limit production. Colin Chibafa is the president of the Chamber of Mines Zimbabwe.
About 88% of our members are experiencing at least 6 hours of load shedding a day. And that would impact the level of production that comes out.
Chibafa says some mines experience blackouts for as long as 12 hours a day. Some mining companies have built their own solar power plants, but those only provide power for a few hours a day. Others have opted for environmentally unfriendly diesel generators, says Colin Chibafa.
Obviously, that's an expensive and the least viable option. If you've got people underground, they need ventilation, they need oxygen.
Another option is for mining companies to import power directly from other countries. That's facilitated by the Regional Southern African Power Pool, or SAP. Stephen Diwa is its executive director.
We allow large customers to become members of SAP. In other words, a large mine can come in and buy power from the market instead of from the local utility.
This power crisis makes economist Victor Boroma skeptical that Zimbabwe will reach its mining export goal.
The provision of power to the mines is one of the key challenges that puts a dent on achieving that target.
Zimbabwe's government is encouraging private investment in solar and hydropower, and there's talk of a new hydroelectric facility upstream from Lake Kariba. But even if that takes off, building a power station takes years. In Harare, I am Ishma Fundikwa for Marketplace.
And Walmart says it's bringing in more robots and software to get merchandise into stores. It's not clear if this means more or fewer humans, but the company says this could mean higher paid jobs that require less manual labor. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.